And stand by for another exciting edition of the Lunch Special.
It wasn't a Schwinn, like it might have been, had I saved for another month or two. It had big balloon tires, my red Western flyer I bought for myself brand new. And I'd pedal all day to the top of the grade. I'd drink knee high till I had my fill. Then I let it fly and my world rushed by, soaring down Penny Nick's Hill. I'd pedal around this old small town. It was worn, but it was clean. If you blinked, you might miss the one traffic light right on Route 13. And I'd pedal all day to the top of the grade. I'd eat candy till I had my fill. And I'd let it fly and my world rushed by, soaring down Penny Nick's Hill.
Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special today, a real special one today. We got an old friend in the house who's brought another old friend, and you just heard from Jay Howlett, local recording artist, songwriter, touring, and all that good stuff. Carnival Lights, the name of the new CD from Blah Blah Wolf Wolf, I love the name of that label, and we heard Red Western Flyer, and today, bringing that artist in is that wacky guy himself, former Stanford lecturer, now proprietor of the infamous hotbed of activism out on the coast, Mr. George Cattermole from the San Gregorio store. George, welcome back to the Lunch Special.
Well, thanks for having me back, Bert. You're putting up with quite a bit here.
Well, you always bring a whole package. You bring an artist for our music show, and then you bring some activist stuff for our, because you're such a on-fire activist, and I mean that in every sense of the word. I saw you up at City Lights Books, that subversive bookstore up in San Francisco last week. I don't know what you were doing. Well, I know what you were doing up there. Same thing I was, watching Mickey Huff. But anyway, you brought Jay Howlett in today to sing a little for the folks and perform, and he's one of the regular performers at the San Gregorio store. So why don't you go ahead, introduce Jay Howlett, give Jay Howlett a nice George Cattermole introduction while he sits down in the chair.
I'd love to. Yeah, Jay's been playing at the store for, God, well nigh 10 years now, I think. I've been playing the last Sunday of every month. It's my time for church. I've called Jay the Walt Whitman and Robert Frost of music. All of his songs have a very definite sort of honesty and down-home quality to them, and what I hear in them is sort of the best and worst about this land that we live in. This last CD that he did, he's got an awful lot of really talented musicians playing with him, and I think we'll probably hear some of that a little bit later.
I bribed them all.
But anyway, without any more of this, I just want to introduce you to Jay Howlett.
Jay, introduce yourself.
I'm Jay Howlett, and I live in Pacifica, and I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm blessed to be able to go up out and, you know, try to pretend that this is an actual gig, that I can actually make money doing this. And I keep fooling my wife, that's always a good thing. And she's very supportive of what I do, and so every so often I have to, like, write a song for her, too. Otherwise, you know, you don't get back in the house. So that's it. Did a lot of touring over the summer. Hit some folk festivals up in the Northwest. That seems to be where I travel the most to.
Mm-hmm. And you've done a lot of benefits over the years, too, I know.
I have done a lot of benefits and will continue to do them because it's part of what we're supposed to do, contribute to what we believe in. And I may not have a lot of money, but I've got a lot of time on my hands.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you play us a song, Jay?
All right. I'm going to start with a song that I wrote for my wife. If I had an angel that walked here beside me, I'd be one of the fortunate few. If I had an angel that walked here beside me, I'd have to share it with you. 'Cause without the arms of the woman who loves me, holds me the whole night through, not even the arms of an angel could save me. Something should happen to you. If I had a heart that could beat on forever, most folks would think I am blessed. If I had a heart that could beat on forever, I'd worry myself half to death. Without the arms of the woman who loves me, holds me the whole night through, not even the arms of an angel could save me if something should happen. Tell you how I feel, Shakespeare's sonnets would be lame. If I had words in my mouth that could tell you how I feel, D.H. Lawrence would be tame. 'Cause without the arms of the woman who loves me, holds me the whole night through, not even the arms of an angel could save me if something should happen to you. Not even the arms of an angel could save me if something should happen to you.
That was Jay Howlett. And he's got a new CD out, Carnival Lights, with a lot of great music on it.
Thanks.
Jay, I hear, isn't there a memorial coming up for a musician friend of ours?
There is a memorial coming up for Chuck McCabe, and that's going to be at Number One Broadway in Los Gatos on October 9th. Starts at 4 o'clock. And it's in a bar, because that's where Chuck would want it to be. So it's not really a memorial. It's a celebration. And hopefully lots of folks will show up and have a Newcastle or some sort of fermented beverage to have fun with. So
one of his lines stuck in my head. I think something like, what others do in 12 steps, may you do May you nail in 9 or 10, and may you never have to wake your coach up again.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Never have to wake your sponsor up again. Yes.
Yeah, he was a wonderful man. And
great writer. Great
writer. Sad to have lost him. Again, another person who's played for us over the years in various benefits for environmental causes. We have a cause coming up on October the 9th, in fact, October the 8th, I'm sorry, Friday evening at the store. We're going to have a potluck to raise some money to bring kids from Hunters Point out to the coast to pick pumpkins at the end of the month.
Nice.
Been doing that for years, and the bus costs more and more money every year. And so if anybody can make it out, it's going to start around 6 o'clock on Friday, October the 8th. Jay won't be playing that one, but I think we're going to have a band named Hang Jones. But Jay has played a lot for us over the years, again, and helped us raise money for good causes. And
yeah, dates back to the Coastal Protection Festival and stuff.
You have another song for us?
Oh, I can find one. This is about a guy that's living up on a compound in Bonners Ferry, Idaho right now. I used to own a club in Calistoga, and the last night that I played there, the IRS came in and emptied out the till. I didn't get paid that night, so I left with a couple bottles of good wine, though. I think it was a Rombau or a Zinfandel, as I recall. Really good Zin. That began his long battle with the United States government, which has landed him up in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. But he didn't spend a lot of time taking care of business there. He sort of hung out with the kids across the street with the hood up of his 1970 Chevy Chevelle Supersport. And all the kids called him Pops. And I guess the 1970 Chevelle Supersport is supposed to be a really cool car if you're an American muscle car kind of guy. I spent way too much time under the hood of my 64 TR4. So I did more fixing than actual driving, but such is my tale of woe with British sports cars. Anyhow, he managed to keep this car throughout his battles with the IRS, and this is a song about that very thing. There's a traffic jam on Lincoln Street. Everybody's out in the summer heat. The pearl paint reflects all the street lights. It's the way it ought to be on a Friday night. There's one space open, they held his spot, waiting on the legend of the parking lot. He's not a kid now at 45. Can't tell by the car he drives, he seems too old for that old Chevelle. The wife wants it gone, but he'll never sell. He'll pop the hood and show you what he's got, 'cause he's a legend in the parking lot. No, he never gave up on those fast cars, still lays rubber on the boulevard. Seen his picture in the magazines, car and driver and street machines. Kids all know him, they call him Pops. He's a legend in the parking lot.
Yeah, his first wife left him 20 years ago. She was a swimsuit model at the auto show. He never grew up. She got fat. And he never told her he loved her like that. In the summer and the nights get hot. Still a legend in the parking lot. Never gave up on those fast cars. Still lays rubber on the boulevard. Seen his picture in the magazines. Car and driver in the street machines. Kids all know him, they call him Pop. He's a legend in the parking lot. He spends all his free time with his cars alone. Got scars on his knuckles, beats the bone. Smells like wax, shines like chrome. And he never gave up on those fast cars. Still lays rubber on the boulevard. Seen his picture in the magazines. Car and driver, and street machines. Kids all know him, they call him Pop. He's a legend in the parking lot. He's a legend.
All right. We've got quite a few songs about machinery. There's another one I'd like to hear sometime, hopefully today, about the Calistoga Tractor Parade. Do you think we could? I think that's on your CD.
Yes, it is. And there's two versions
on that with you, right?
Yeah, there's a PG-13 version where Joe goes off on a little bit of a rant.
I wonder whether Bird would let us play that. I don't know.
As long as there ain't no cussing in it.
The cussing was beeped out, so it's.
So all the children here.
It is radio legal.
Play it.
I just want to. I want to read what you wrote here. And this is actually for you, Bird. I guess it's just to every DJ who takes the time to listen and sometimes even give airplay to the independent artists who fall into the no genre category. Heartfelt thanks to you all. Also, special thanks also to my health practitioners, massage therapists, homeopaths, and herbalists who keep my body working. Ah, but I was so much older then, and I'm younger than that now. I guess I can quote Bob without paying him.
I'd like to ask a question if I could.
Sure.
Jay, where do you get the inspiration for? You're a real wordsmith. Were you a... did you get into poetry as a kid, or were you just always writing songs from the minute you came out of the womb, or what was the deal?
I think the minute I got a guitar, I did it to write songs. I don't think it came naturally to me, but I started writing short stories and little screenplays as a kid. I stuttered so badly that I had a hard time actually communicating with people, so getting off in my own little world and writing things, I think, helped me. And as did theater and speech and debate. It's amazing how somebody that can stutter ends up doing well in certain strange things.
Sure, Mel Tillis.
Yeah.
You know, if you talk to him, he'll stutter all day long. But if he sings, you know, you wouldn't even know he was.
Jimmy Stewart was the same way.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so was John Lee Hooker.
So, you know, I'll take that company.
Cool.
I'm not proud.
You're listening to Jay Howlett, brought in by George Cattermole. This is another edition of the Lunch Special. And Jay, you going to play us another song?
Yeah, right. This is about... I used to write songs about my own family, but it scared people. So I had to, you know, find alternative families to write songs about. So, of course, you immediately turn to your wife's family, because that seems to be fair game. So when you get married, you inherit strange traditions that are foreign to you. Like, for example, I inherited cornbread and black-eyed peas for New Year's.
Yeah.
It's supposed to bring you good luck. If you're a Southern person, you would know that. But me being from one of the states of the War of Northern Aggression, I didn't know about cornbread and black-eyed peas. I thought black-eyed peas were a band. But it turns out that they're a legume, and if you cook them with enough fat, they can actually taste good. So that's what I do on New Year's now all the time, is have cornbread and black-eyed peas. And I'm waiting for the real good luck to come in, but I really can't complain too much. I don't know how it all got started. Some said it brought us good luck. It seemed to work for a couple of years, and we just sort of kept it up. Grandma would gather the peas from the garden she had out back. Aunt Sis would bring the ham hock. For hours on the stove it sat, and it's cornbread and black-eyed peas we had every New Year's Eve. Pass the butter and molasses, please, for this cornbread and black-eyed peas. The cornbread looked like little ears of corn. I was confused as a child. I'd wonder how anyone could make such a thing. My imagination ran wild. Around the kitchen table we'd gather. Grandpa would offer up a prayer. Thank God for the blessings that found us, and ask God to bless everybody there. And it's cornbread and black-eyed peas we had every New Year's Eve. Pass the butter and molasses, please, for this cornbread and black-eyed peas. Have changed since that time. Bird's Eye now provides the peas, and the family spread across the country. It's not the same on New Year's Eve. I don't make cornbread the same way. Don't say grace as often as I should. I don't feel as lucky, but if I revive tradition, maybe I would. It'll be cornbread and black-eyed peas we'll have every New Year's Eve. Pass the butter and molasses, please, for this cornbread and black-eyed, cornbread and black-eyed, cornbread and black-eyed peas.
Love that song. And that is, that's also on your Carnival Lights CD, right?
Yeah, it is. For some reason, I'm doing some songs off that. I don't know if it's shameless self-promotion or not. Well, yeah, it is. So
I know a lot of these songs. I don't always know the titles and how they fit with it. The lyrics, but as I recall, you do have a song about prohibition, and I think of that because when I moved out to the coast, I discovered that where the store is located now, there used to be quite a bit of surreptitious activity.
What amendment was that? Was that the 19th?
They'd bring the sugar up from Santa Cruz, and then they'd ask the farmers to look the other way and give them $10 a month or whatever to just keep people from going down to the lower 40 or whatever and make moonshine. And I heard enough of these stories that some of them have to be true, that the coast really was sort of ablaze with that kind of thing. They would ship it out to some of the coves there, north and south, up to the city and down to Monterey. There's now another prohibition and another crop that sort of is happening out there.
Yes, there is.
I wonder what's going to happen with that ballot initiative on marijuana. The song had something to do with your upbringing, right?
Yeah, it did. And I sort of had to piece together the history of my dad, because it was always kind of a mystery. And when he died, we lived in a small town in upstate New York, probably about 2,500 people. And when he died, these three black limousines come rolling up to the funeral home. And these really well-dressed people kind of got out of the car and go, "We's comes to pay our respects to Mr. Howlett." And the kids looked at my mom. She wasn't talking. So then they drove off in their big black Cadillacs, and we're going, "Well, what's going on?" So I had to piece together my my dad's lifetime, and he had a pilot's license in the 20s, and he was living in Buffalo, New York at the time. So he'd fly his airplane across the lake there to Toronto and fill it up with good Canadian whiskey, and then fly back over to the U.S. side, and it would get distributed properly to the needy people in Boston. I mean, in Niagara Falls and in Buffalo. Buffalo and Boston, they're just not alike. I don't know where that thought came from. Anyhow, and...
The Kennedys were in Boston,
yeah,
making some money off of this, right?
Yeah, that's a rumor that I've heard. It's unverified to me personally, but I have heard that particular rumor. But, you know, that was a pretty short-lived career, so... after that, he opened up a body shop in Niagara Falls.
Oh, not pork chops.
Yeah. So our cars would check in on the American side with American registrations and check out on the Canadian side with Canadian registrations. And after that, he dabbled in passport photography. And before I knew it, we were in a small town in upstate New York, and he was a barber. And I'm not sure if those gentlemen came to really pay their respects or to make sure he was dead. So this is an example of why I don't write songs about my family, because it really does. It's a frightening thought. I thought it was a song about a car, but it turned out to be a song about my dad, called Studebaker Golden Hawk. When I was a kid, my dad had a real fast car. It was a Studebaker Golden Hawk, and it was supercharged. It wasn't a faster car between these county lines. State troopers had come by just to take a drive. One said, "That Golden Hawk, well, it sure does fly. A state cruiser couldn't catch one and will never try. It's two-tone tan and white, had great big fins, chrome on the bumper, lots of chrome trim. We'd take our Sunday drives in that Studebaker. You could tell it was his pride and joy. I thought it might change our lives. I knew Studebaker. It was just a car. Took off for Niagara Falls now, late one day. When he returns, didn't have that much to say. Said the car got stolen, or was it sold? I don't remember which version of the story I was told. We would take our Sunday drives in that Studebaker. You could tell it was his pride and joy. I thought it might change our lives. I knew Studebaker, that it was just a car. It was just a car. Must have owned 20 cars, maybe 22. There were Fords and Chevys, and there were Buicks too. Hoods like big round noses, they all had holes in the side. None were as fun as the Golden Hawk to ride. We would take our Sunday drives in that Studebaker. You could tell it was his pride and joy. I thought it might change our lives. I knew Studebaker. It was just a car. It was just a car. It was just a car. I knew Studebaker. It was just a car. I knew Studebaker. It was just a car. I knew Studebaker.
Love that song. I love that song. Quite a lot of automotive songs. The more I think about it, never really I've heard been listening to these for a long time. But that's sort of a
I guess
common
yeah.
denominator. Yeah.
Well, you know, they're things that sort of weave the fabric of our lives here in this country that is unlike other countries around the world. We are based on the automobile. It's yeah. part of our lexicon. It's got to creep into our songs and our lives, and we're going to have memories of.
A lot of first times sometimes in
yeah.
the automobile.
Yes, yeah. yes. And we probably don't need to get into detail there. But yes, it was a rite of passage on several levels to have a car. So,
Well, you just got back from a tour. I was it took you, what, up north?
Or? Yeah, I went up as far north as Richland, Washington, where I did the Tumbleweed Music Festival there. And then I went over to Portland and then up to the Sisters Folk Festival and worked Sisters for the 3 days there. And really a great festival up in Sisters. It's just good artists this year. Peter Mulvey was there and Slade Cleaves was there. And just John Hammond was there. So it was just a really nice time there. So I get up to the Northwest about four times a year.
Oh, really? I'm
running, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And where else do you go?
I spend a lot of time in Reading. You know, that's a real hotbed of entertainment. And it's a nice stepping stone on the way up there. So, and I travel some through the Southwest, and I'm in the spring I'm doing sort of the upper Midwest. I'm doing from Nashville up through, like, you know, all the great hot spots like Carbondale, Illinois, So I've got to find out what Carbondale is about. With a name like Carbondale, there has to be some history there. So
I'm not sure about the kind of future. Chippendale, Carbondale.
It's sort of like, you know, Petroleum California up in the, you know, the North Coast there. So, you know, and I'm sure they had petroleum up there once, but.
Well, you have, I'm trying to think, you have any other music you...
You know, I spend a lot of time in small towns, so I do a lot of songs about small towns. And
yeah, you mentioned Nashville, didn't you? You did a song that had something to do with Nashville.
Yeah, I went there once or twice, and once I went for the International Folk Alliance convention, which, if you can imagine, trying to herd cats. Try to get about 5,000 folk singers together and organize them. You know, it's a unruly bunch. But there's also a big culture clash between sort of the leftward-leaning folk singers and sort of the more right-wing-leaning country
Toby
folks.
Key, people like that.
I didn't want to mention, you know, names, but yes, Toby would come to mind. I was going to make fun of Nashville. Nashville's weird because one of the first questions they'll ask you if somebody meets you, they want to make sure that you're from Nashville. So they'll say, well, you know, are you from Nashville? And if you go yes, then they have a cross check and they'll ask you, well, what church do you go to? And if you hesitate, they'll know that you're from probably California. And then, you know, you're an outsider. So
you may not even go to church. Yeah.
And the eating habits are much different in Nashville. The restaurants, what they have, what they call a meat and three. So you get one meat and three sides, which, you know, consist of, you know, an assortment of things like macaroni and cheese or broccoli or, you know, cream spinach, all kinds of really strange foreign things. They do have good fried catfish, though. I must say the fried foods in Nashville are very good. But I was going to make fun of them, but I got what I thought was a really funny first verse. And then I couldn't do anything for about 2.5 years on the song. It just sat there till I realized it wasn't the first verse. It was the chorus. And then the song sort of fell together. But then I realized, really, I'm not that funny. So it wasn't a funny song anymore. It was sort of a place that I think we all get sometime where we just want to get out of Dodge and live somewhere else. We're tired of, you know, sucking up the exhausts in cars and dealing with the things that we deal with to live in an urban environment. You wouldn't know that particular stress any longer because you live in sort of a secluded little coastal community.
Well, I don't know. We've actually lost quite a few friends who've gone up to Idaho or moved out to Colorado because, you have a song about that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
The way things are going around here. But
yeah. The economy forces changes.
Yeah.
You know, either, you know, when it's bad, it forces changes and folks move, and when it's booming, folks move. That was sort of the theme of my last album, American Ghost Town, sort of chronicled sort of our past and heading into the future there. So, but this is not about a ghost town. It's about some place that I haven't found yet that I want to live. And like I said, it was supposed to be funny, but I guess I'm just not that funny.
I'm tired of the cars, I'm tired of the traffic, tired of the noise, tired of the racket, I'm tired of the sounds that this city makes. And I'm tired of the malls, I'm tired of the mobs, I'm tired of the struggle, I'm tired of my job. I just about had everything I can take. I wanna live in a town where the waitress calls you honey, where they care more about where you go to church than how you make your money. I wanna live in a town where the flag flies free, raise up a family. Somewhere like that is where I wanna be. Yeah, I'm ready for a change, ready for a move, I'm ready to leave. I got nothing left to prove, I'm ready to get the hell out of here. I'm ready to split, there's no reason to doubt it. I'm ready to quit, only talking about it. I'm ready to pack up, just pass away. I wanna live in a town where the waitress calls you honey, where they care more about where you go to church than how you make your money. I wanna live in a town where the flag flies free, raise up a family. Somewhere like that is where I wanna be. Leave behind the interstate, further back roads, those two-lane highways where no one ever goes. Lose the city skyline for the open sky, back to a plain cup of coffee and a warm piece of apple pie. I wanna live in a town where the waitress calls you honey, where they care more about where you go to church than how you make your money. I wanna live in a town where the flag flies free, raise up a family. Somewhere like that is where I wanna be. Somewhere like that is where I want to be.
Great song. Great song.
Thanks.
Well, let's see. We do have time for a couple more, Jay. I think...
Let's see if the voice holds out here.
Well, I think
I did a lot of singing yesterday for some strange reason,
and a great band with you too. Who were those people?
We had Rolf Weyer on bass. We had Patrick Feehan on keys. We had Marty Atkinson on guitar, and Tim Seifert on drums. Yeah, you know, they're all incredibly talented folks. I'm not sure what they're doing hanging out with me, but you know I'll play with them any chance I get.
You had a lot of people singing along too yesterday. It
was a fun day.
No one liked your music.
It was a fun day. So, but I definitely am feeling, you know, sort of getting up early after a day of singing, going, you know, is when I need to be a blues singer, you know, so you can, you know, utilize that raspy voice to your advantage.
Well, what? How about that? The song about going up to Utah, was it? Utah? No,
Idaho.
Idaho.
Okay. Let's see. How do I want to do that? I actually have to drop that down a bit. So yeah, I wrote this in the last Great Recession, which. Was sometime, I think right it might have been the Reagan years, but this is probably the oldest song that I actually still play. and it keeps sort of coming back into fashion. We keep seeming to have these, you know, bank failure things and
cycles,
you know, yeah,
bubbles,
yeah,
and-
yeah. So, so it sort of ends up, you know, becoming relevant about every 6 years, I think. So. I've been living in California too long. Living is hard, the economy is gone. Leaving the area around the bay, and I'm not sure much longer I'm gonna stay. And I don't know where I'm gonna go. A friend of mine mentioned Idaho. If you need to get in touch with me, look me up in the phone book outside of Boise. California's okay and it sure stays warm. Not too hot to weather the storms. Too many people, the people don't care. Can't drink the water and you can't breathe the air. Yes, I know where I'm gonna go. I'll be standing knee deep in the Idaho snow. If you need to get in touch with me, look me up in the phone book outside of Boise. I've seen all the California orchards fall to build the houses and convention halls. Seen the decline of a beautiful state. Seems I'm leaving 20 years too late. And yes, I know where I'm gonna go. Be standing knee deep in the Idaho snow. If you need to get in touch with me, look me up in the phone book outside of Boise. My friends think I'm crazy cause I'm leaving here after hanging on so many years. California can't handle the cost. What it once was paradise is paradise lost. Leaving California's making me sad. Once was the prettiest state we had. Sierra Nevada, Yosemite, Costa Big Sur, the redwood trees. And yes, I know where I'm gonna go. Be standing knee deep in the Idaho snow. If you need to get in touch with me, look me up in the phone book outside of Boise. Up in the phone book outside of Boise.
You've been listening to Jay Howlett's performing live in the studio here at KZSU for the lunch special in conversation with George Cattermole, the proprietor of the San Gregorio store. And Jay, you play at the San Gregorio store the last Sunday morning of every month, right?
Yes.
And morning means it's the early show, which is 11 to 1. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's so cruel.
I know, man.
It's really cruel.
Yeah, especially since you're playing those late night bars in the city every Saturday night, right? You don't play any late night bars.
I don't play bars anymore.
I know. There you go.
I mean,
wait a minute. This Thursday, you're going to be found at the Wine Bar in Half Moon Bay.
Well, I guess that could qualify. But
well, they call it a wine bar, right?
Okay. I stand corrected. Okay. I stand humbly before you.
Do you frequent that establishment often?
They're beginning to grow accustomed to me.
Good.
So
that's good. So the wine bar is located right on Main Street?
No, it's the one that's over sort of more in the harbor in Princeton area.
Oh, the wine bar. Okay. So at Princeton Landing.
Yeah.
Just north of Half Moon Bay. You're going to be there this Thursday night. What time?
6:30 to 8:30. It is their very first meeting with their wine club. So
oh.
You can go and...
You're going to be
probably
playing that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're
probably
on.
Probably drinking some wine, too.
Very cool. You can be found on Blah Blah Wolf Wolf Records. That's BLAAH twice, WOOF twice. And that's located in Pacifica, California. Your website is www.jhowlett.com. That's JHOWLETT.com. And your email. Can we give your email out?
Sure.
J@blahblahwolfwolf.com.
Believe it or not, we're in the middle of a trademark dispute right now. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Might have to give that blah, blah, woof, woof up.
We've had it a long time.
Oh, good. And your new CD, 2010, is called Carnival Lights. Man, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. Anything else you want to tell the listeners before we... What we're going to do is we're going to go out with one of your recorded numbers. The Guardsman's Letter.
We can do that, but I think George wanted to hear the Calistoga track.
Oh, okay, all right. We'll switch that out.
We'll do a track 11, and we'll listen to the great Joe Craven go off on a rant. Only Joe can do.
Oh, Joe is ranting on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. and we have a minute here. Anything you want to tell the folks while we got you a little bit of free time, a little free radio time?
I just want to tell folks to go out and see live music. It's an underappreciated art form, and folks need to get out more, because if you don't go out and see folks, then you're not going to get the opportunity. It'll go away, the dinosaur.
You mentioned off mic that you used to have a radio show at KKUP in Cupertino.
KKUP, yes.
Well, it was in Santa Clara or something like that.
Well, their post office box is still in Cupertino.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you plan on going back on the radio over there at all?
You know, Dave Stafford has asked me back, and it's his show, and I'll probably end up back there, because it's real fun bringing music, and there was a lot of live music on that show too. So, mm-hmm. And I just think it's a wonderful thing to be involved with and promote.
Are you going to be one of the featured guests at the Chuck McCabe Celebration?
I made sure that was not a performance night. There's going to be...
So you will be there?
Yeah, I will be there. I will be at the bar drinking.
Oh, okay.
And I hope that other folks will join me there. There will be a microphone set up for folks to play if they want to.
Now, Chuck McCabe was a local artist such as yourself, singer-songwriter, and I never saw him perform, but he knew and wrote a song about an old friend of mine, so I kind of knew about him. But where is his, one more time, where is Chuck McCabe? He passed away, so they're having a celebration of his life.
At Number One Broadway.
That's in Los Gatos, isn't
it? That's one of his old haunts.
And that's going to be when?
October 9th. It's going to start at 4 o'clock and go on as long as folks want to stay there and drink.
And what night of the week is that?
That's a Saturday.
October 9th.
Yes.
For Chuck McCabe's, and people could come and see you there, too, drinking.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's like I said, it's not a performance. It's more like a let's get drunk and, tell lies about Chuck.
Good for you. Well, that's the best way to celebrate somebody's life.
Absolutely.
And folks can find you the last Sunday of every month at the San Gregorio store, the early show, which is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., right?
Yeah, I've got to talk to George about that.
I hear you. We're going to go out with one more tune by you, Jay Howlett. Thank you very much. This is Calistoga Tractor Parade.
It's a real event.
Is it really?
Yeah.
As requested by George Cattermole.
It was in early December, I clearly remember. They were closing the main street down. People lined up on both sides, two, maybe three wide.
Yes, sir.
They came from blocks around. I've been in Cleveland, I've been in Dublin, I've been in Tucson, I've been Saigon.
Saigon.
And in all the towns that I've played,
bunch of foreigners.
There's not another event that they ought to prevent than the Calistoga Tractor Parade. San Francisco has gay pride parade, New York Thanksgiving's Day, both fine parades, it's true.
I ain't gonna record on any song.
And although parades with tractors have their detractors. Let's give Calistoga its due. I've been in Cleveland and Dublin, Tucson and Saigon, but in all the towns that I've played, is there another event that they ought to prevent than the Calistoga Tractor Parade?
Calistoga Tractor Parade.
There were big ones and small ones, short ones and tall ones, tractors both old and new. Tractors by Ford only banks could afford.
Damn.
There was even a,
hate this,
a harvester, too.
All right, now.
Seen Santa in Seattle and Atlanta.
Did you say Santa?
In Calistoga, okay, he's weird. It's a sight you should dread. Santa on his sled, pulled by a dozen John Deere. I've been in Cleveland and Dublin, Tucson and Saigon, and in all the towns that I've played, there's not another event that they ought to prevent than the Calistoga Tractor Parade.
Man, I'm psychotic, sorry.
No, there's not another event that they ought to prevent than, well, the Calistoga Tractor Parade.
Communists.
Jay Howlett. Oh, excuse me. Jay Howlett right there. With Calistoga Tractor Parade off his brand new CD from Blah Blah Wolf Wolf Records. Carnival Lights is the name of the CD.